Hello, everyone. Welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. The playoffs are continuing, so what's up?
Well, I want to know about, what do you call him, Big Toe?
No, guy. We want to thank one of our listeners or say hello to Stu.
Stu, yeah.
His name is Toe Save. That's his nickname. And he said he's the oldest goalie playing in Asia. No, he didn't say where.
Well, he's got to tell us where.
We'll see. Well, if you're out there, tell us where he's playing. And
must have made a Toe Save or something.
Yeah, and that's his nickname. And he's a listener, and he wanted to say hello and all that. So we wanted to say hello to Stu. But, Dad, I got a question to ask. Carolina gets beat out by Tampa.
They played pretty good, too.
And it was a good series. And Dougie Hamilton said something. He said, well, we got beat by a team that's $18 million over the cap.
What he meant by then, I have to give the GM, Brisbois, I think that's how you pronounce it, Brisbois. Anyhow, he's the guy, don't tell me Lou Lamoriello didn't think of this, and now Kucherov needed a hip operation. You correct me, Tim, if I'm wrong. He needed a hip operation. So he kept him out the whole year, and he saved, he saved a ton of dough.
Yeah. Because he put him on...
$18 million.
Yeah, they put him on... It's called long-term injury.
Yeah.
So his salary comes off the books. Cap. So it doesn't go against their cap.
Does he get paid?
He gets paid, but it doesn't go against the team. The team's
now, the first cap. Game back. Now, it would have been perfect if he hadn't done so well the first game back. I think he got 2 goals and an assist. Unbelievable. And he's playing like $1 million. It just happened. It just by accident happened that he was ready the first game of the playoffs. Isn't that something? And
timing's everything.
Yeah, timing is everything.
But just to kind of get off a little bit of topic on that, Dad, we talked about, it's funny how he's rested for the playoffs, and now he's leading the playoffs and scoring. And you have, you have Price, only played 30 games this year. You have... Price only played 30. You had Fleury only played about 35.
Yeah, they usually played 65. 60.
And the Islanders goalie split the season, so they both played 30. So it seems like the goalies and a lot of the players, and Stamkos is rested going in, the guys that are rested going in the playoffs seem to be carrying the load.
Well, they are, but I'd like to get back to Brisbois. He had the nerve. Could have went wrong for him. He ended up third, I think, in his division. Could have went wrong for him, and don't tell me some other GMs didn't think of that. Did you understand that, Cindy?
Yes. Oh, okay. You don't have to mansplain it to me. I get it.
All right. Well, as long as you got it, and I think everybody else got it.
I wonder if the NHL is going to do something about
it. They'll do something about that. You can't do that. I mean...
is that the first time that's ever been done?
First time it's ever been done.
He's a clever guy.
And you got to give the guy nerve enough. Barry Trotz says, well, I'm not one of those guys that keep track of that. He says, I'm just a coach.
Sure.
He didn't want to get involved in it. But
What do you think? What's going to happen in that series?
Oh, something. In that series?
Yeah.
I don't know, boy. Hegman not injured. And they look pretty good. They look pretty cocky. You got to be cocky in the playoffs. And I've said it many times before. Bergeron said it. That he was billing, he's laughing right now. But, and by the way, I saw a picture in the paper with short hair. There's no way he'd get his hair cut short. Remember Cassidy got his hair cut in the seventh game? And I remembered.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he had kind of long hair and he cut it
and
he short.
And he's short for the seventh game. I guess he thought it was in the bag because the way Rask was playing. Who was in that?
Yeah, Rask.
Yeah.
Well, that was in the St. Louis series.
Yeah,
right?
The St. Louis series. Yeah, and Bington played so bad, he thought it was in the bag. Anyhow, you never get your hair.
I think the wives can only put up with so much. Maybe that was it.
Remember the time I cut my hair and I cut it here and cheap guy that I am, and I cut a little more and the first thing you know, I had a bald head, and boy was your mother mad.
Where were you?
Rochester.
Oh, Dad, he did that Here we are talking about family stuff. You did that to a tree in Kingston one time. Oh. First time I ever saw my grandmother cry. She cried. Her beloved tree.
No,
Donald,
it wasn't beloved tree.
It was a tree in the back. For her to cry the way she did.
I know. She was mad at me, boy. What happened was I took a little hair,
The thing was you had did you have an electric chainsaw?
I don't know what
that
I had.
That was it.
I don't know. Anyhow, I shaved bald, and you know what your mother said? I did, and I said, I did this for the playoffs. And I didn't do it for the playoffs. I'd made a mistake. And she said, you look like a convict out there. I guess that's how they shaved their head. How did we get into that one? I don't know how we got into that one, but.
You were saying the GM didn't cut his hair short.
Oh, yeah. Anyhow, it should be good. Montreal, you know, Montreal play a scrambly game. They're going to be tough to play against. They don't play in their position. They play all over the place. Maybe that's why.
So that's kind of like the Peter McNabb theory of Terry O'Reilly.
Yeah.
The other team can't stop him because they don't know what he's going to do because we don't know what he's going to do. So that's kind of like Vegas. Montreal runs around.
Yeah, and you know, I switched from one game to another, and they play the straight game, you know, tough game. And Montreal, I tell you, they play that scrambling game. It's not going to be easy, and they got Price in the net.
So, one question though, Dad, that last game, that game 7, or was it game 6 against Colorado? I mean, the hits were unbelievable. Like, they were just...
Remember the one guy who got hit so hard, his helmet went 15 feet in the air.
So, Vegas is a really big hitting team. Montreal isn't. So, are they going to run them out of the building? Like, what happens with that?
You know, it's a funny thing. When a team doesn't hit, and it doesn't... You know, try to be tough or anything like that. The other team goes down and plays the same way.
You're saying that if a team hits and one team doesn't, it's not that the team that doesn't hit is going to hit. It's the team that does hit isn't going to hit.
Yeah, and if you don't have guys pushing you back and getting you upset and things like that.
Is this a game plan or is this
no,
just
it just
by,
happens.
It's just, you know, unconsciousness. It just happens.
And I don't think it'll be a rough series unless DeBoer, our buddy, can from Kitchener, Tim, Coach DeBoer, tell a story about him and Kitchener, about the season cease holder behind the net.
Yeah, we told that story once before.
Tell it again.
Yeah, so the first time we met Peter DeBoer was in, I guess it was the 2003 prospect game.
Oh, well, that was a rough game.
Yeah, so people that don't know what the prospect game is, it's... Every year, the NHL gets all the kids in the CHL who are draft eligible. So, and they put them on two teams, and it was used to be Team Cherry versus Team Orr, and so all the scouts and GMs can come and see. It was like the best on best, so they can kind of see. And they're not exhibition games; like the players really go out. So this
game proved it.
Yeah. So this game, the first game, we met Peter DeBoer and his assistant coach Steve Spott,
and everywhere. That DeBoer goes, Coach DeBoer goes, he brings Steve Spott with him.
Right.
And he had him in Kitchener and everywhere he went.
So we after the game, we'll talk about the game in a minute, but after the game we were, Bobby leaves right away because he almost leaves. And then so we were kind of sitting in the dressing room and Peter and Steve came over having a couple of beers and with Brian Kilray, which leads to another.
Brian Kilray.
So he was telling a funny story, and we told it before, but it's funny. We'll tell it again. That the old Kitchener Arena, there used to be no glass behind the bench.
And it was close. It was like you could walk around.
You are like right up against the... So basically, Peter DeBoer's back is right against the wall, right behind the seats. And there was season seat holders that sat behind the bench that had been there forever. So Peter says, you got to be nice to them, right? You got to say hello and you got to do like the thing.
Junior hockey, yeah.
So you got to be quiet. You got to, you know, it's... And so Peter goes, he says, we'd sit there and he says, they were like the Muppets. You know, the old grumpy guys in the Muppets sitting there. So, you know, he goes, we wouldn't score on the power play. And the guy go, well, I guess the coach isn't practicing on the power play much, is he? No. Or he goes, we get a penalty, you know, they score on a power play. Well, I guess the coach needs to work on the penalty killing. I don't think I would have had that. And he says, I'm just sitting there and I'm steaming. And he says, you want to turn around and scream at them, but you can't.
So, no.
But But luckily now they have glass back there. But that was the first time we met.
I played in that Kitchen Arena. That was a beautiful. That's a beautiful, beautiful arena.
What league would that have been?
That was the EPHL, and I played for Kitchener. And I remember. I must tell a story. I won't tell a story today, but I will tell a story. How I got my first apartment there. I was the last guy on the team. Shall I tell that story? Sure. No, I'll tell that story some other time. But Kitchener was a great spot. Yeah, and Steve's, and I'll tell you one thing. I remember Bobby would take off, and everybody would get a jacket and beautiful stuff.
Boy, they really did have the swag that you would get at those prospect games. Beautiful. Like, and every player got one, and the coaches got them. And,
yeah.
Jackets were really nice.
Yeah, they were nice. We never got one. So I happened to mention, I don't know, I must have been doing Hockey Night in Canada or the radio show or something. And I mentioned I didn't get my jacket, that everybody else got a jacket. The guy that the stick boy got a jacket. And he sent, and Coach DeBoer sent me a jacket. I never forgot that.
Very good. So,
and that was a great game. If I remember, Paul Bissonnette and Phaneuf had one of the best fights I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And we scored the tying goal. No, did we get the winner?
No, that was a tire. So, yeah, because this was like, it was a funny game watching it because, like, the referees kind of are in a bit of a pickle watching these games because they don't want to call a million penalties, right? Because the whole thing is for the GMs, the scouts to see best on best. But this game, they were really going at each other.
I don't know
And
why.
He didn't know what to do. Like, the ref, though, I don't want to call penalties, but... and
it was getting out of hand.
So, well, we'll tell about a little bit about that. It was... your first goalie was a guy came Kevin Natsuk, I believe.
Yeah,
it was.
And he
got a shutout.
Oh, and he was terrific.
So they played half the games, right?
Now we got to put in the second guy, and the guy's name's Marc-Andre Fleury. And why would the other guy gets a shutout? We got to put this guy in. And he was terrific. Remember that?
Yeah, I think they poured 26 shots on him.
26 shots, and he was fantastic.
Yep, so Fleury came in and saved the day. But I think we were down 3-1.
3-1.
And I remember that between periods, I came down between periods, you were there, and you were, and what the kids do is they don't like to shoot the puck.
Well,
they
don't
want to
be selfish.
Right, so.
They don't want to, 2-on-1, you know the pass is coming over.
Because they don't want to shoot, so dad's mad. And you said, the next guy that doesn't shoot the puck, he says, they don't care about passing. He says, they want to see you score.
You hear is coaches go, shoot the puck, shoot the puck.
So he goes, if we get a 2-on-1, you better not pass it. You better shoot it and the other guy go to the net.
Yeah.
So it was 3-2. We had tied the game up 3-3, and it was about 5 minutes to go. And it was Danny...
Fritzy,
he came down and shot the puck right along the ice.
No, it was Nathan Horton, I think. Remember, and the guy with Nathan Horton shot the puck, and there was a rebound, and Fritzy put it in the top corner. I felt pretty good about that.
Right, right. And then, but the funny thing was, when it was 3-1, we made it, it was 3-2. As you said, Paul Bissonnette, who does spit and chicklets now, hit Dion Phaneuf at center ice, and boy, did they start throwing bombs.
In a prospect game, they were fighting.
And the referee was shocked. He didn't know what to do.
And we came down and scored to tie the game up.
Right, yeah, it was at the blue line, and they had to fight at the blue line.
Yeah, and so the referee was, I guess, well, I'm not going to count.
He was in shock.
Yeah, but he was like, well, I can't count the goal. And then you kind of went bananas on the bench.
I'm going on the ice if he doesn't count the goal because now.
Have a $100 bet with going with Bobby.
Well, it wasn't a $100 bet. But with Bobby. Bobby used to do those games, and I'd get upset. He never got upset. And I think he ended up winning.
You win a lot of them, but. But that one, so the referee counted it because I think, he just said, well, I better count it because we don't want Don to run on the ice.
I was going on the ice. I had the door on. I wasn't closing the door.
And so the funny thing is in the box score, if you look at that game, it has a goal scored to tie it up 3-3 at 10:45 and a fight at 10:45. So you never see that. Very rarely do you see that happen.
Never. And he didn't know what to do. But DeBoer was a good guy, and I'm glad to see him, you know.
Well, the one thing, too, we'll talk about again is, you know, you said, Dad, coaching, you got to make some tough decisions, and he put his back, well, Lenny, in game one.
I knew what he was doing right away.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, but people haven't heard about it, that game one against Colorado.
And knew, I, yeah, 7-1, I think the score was.
Yeah, something like that.
7-1.
So what was he doing there?
Well, I knew what he was doing. He was doing what Jilly Gilbert probably doesn't listen to the, but anyhow, what I did was what they call that, throwing him to the wolves. He knew he was not going to win the first game. He played two nights before
game seven.
And they knew no way they were going to beat Vegas.
It was going to beat Colorado the first
game. No way. So you put Leonard in. I was really surprised, and I knew what he was doing right away. He was going to come back with Fleury. And they kept putting the camera on Fleury all the time. There was no way Fleury was going in that game. And, you know, it's a ship. You got to think of the ship. You got the team.
So,
is a ship.
Like, we've talked about this before. You've done it with Davey Reese and you've done it with Gilly Gilbert. Like, does the team know? Like, the players know what you're doing.
The player, well, of
Do
course.
Do they try
the player.
Harder when they know that you've thrown a goalie to the Wolves?
Well, they didn't that game.
I guess not.
But they do when Gilly Gilbert was in the Nets. They knew I was, like, if we played three games in 3 nights and we were on the road for the third game, he'd get that third game and he'd win. And I think the players felt sorry for him or something. They turned it on a little more. And whatever happened, he set a record.
17, still standing today, which is just unbelievable. 17 consecutive wins.
That is, you know, imagine that. Imagine 17 wins in a row now.
From 19, that was like, I think it was 77 or 78 season. So it's.
I didn't even know that till you told me.
No, he stood that. So and you think of, you know, Marty Brodeur and Patrick Waugh and Carey Price, all the goalies that have come since then.
And as you say, they were hard games with you always doing that.
I threw him to the wolves.
Yeah.
And you know, Marc-Andre Fleury, how would he say?
Marc-Andre, yeah, Fleury.
Here's the guy they let go. Pittsburgh let go, but I don't think he was playing as good for Pittsburgh and then he went to the, Jerry Gallant, I call him Jerry Gallant, he's had a tough time, and I am so happy to see him win the gold, and you remember he was in Florida, they were doing pretty good in Florida, I think they won a couple, first year they did good, and the second year they were kind of meek, and they were coming on. They got him off the bus. This is the story. And he had to get a taxi cab and get his equipment from underneath the bus. And the players are sitting on the bus watching.
And they fired him.
They fired him, so
he was already on the bus. He had to take all his suitcase and stuff out of the bus.
And underneath. And he had his equipment. And there he is standing there waiting for a cab. I mean, that was. And then he goes to... Vegas, and he did well. Everybody knows what he did there, and he gets fired there too.
Yeah, I mean, they were like 3 points out of first place.
Yeah, and they'd won three in a row or something like that. But he'll go to Seattle, or I'm assuming he'll go to Seattle.
But don't you think though, Dad, if he go, like, I don't know if a coach thinks like this, but if you go to Seattle and it's an expansion team, even if you go to the second round of the playoffs, they're gonna say, even if they get the first round of the playoffs. They're going to say, well, Gerard didn't do as good as he did in Vegas. You know what I mean? He's got such a high bar to set.
They will have a good club. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you pick one team, one guy out of each club. You got to be pretty good. But they'll never, ever be as good as Vegas, because that will never happen again. Because a first-year team, it goes to the finals, and Montreal and Toronto and all them get out, beat you out the first round. That'll never happen again.
Not Montreal.
Well, not Montreal, but they'll have a good team. Vegas, they'll have a pretty good team, but not as good as Vegas.
So, Dad, but just before we keep going, I just want to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca, and they're a First Nations Canadian owned sportsbook and casino online. And if you enter the promo Grapes, they'll match your first deposit, and then you get a bunch of big spins on the big wheel to win some big money. And if your first sports bet, they'll bet you $25. So if you think Montreal is going to, I'll tell you one thing, you're getting good odds for Montreal. So if you think Montreal is going to win, and you can get
them. Well, those people in Montreal voted Montreal regardless.
Yeah.
And everybody thought they were going to lose against Toronto.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm just kind of surprised too, is how, but a big underdog the Islanders are.
Yeah.
You know, you look and you go, gee, this is a team that beat two big teams and anything. So
Willam Morel. Yeah.
So just talk about the Islanders, Dad. You know, the Bruins went out in was it six games?
Well, actually, let's play the cards on the table. I'm a Bruin guy. Rask was hurt. He's got a hip operation.
Yeah, they said he'll be out till February of next year.
I mean, your hip operation. Well, Kucherov was, it wasn't the same hip operation. But they played well. I thought the Bruins, if they had had Rask at top form, they'd have won. They outshot them 48 to 1 game they lost. But you know, Tim, it only takes, as I said many times before, one incident. And that penalty they called on slashing winner was 0-0. Bruins had a confidence, and they came back and they scored in the first minute. And Cassidy got upset, and the team was upset. Never the same after that.
No, he got fined $25,000.
Yeah, if I remember.
Yeah, but you made an interesting point with Rask, because if you watched the last game, you could tell he was hurt.
Yeah.
Like
he tried, though.
He tried, and the rebounds were coming out, and you could tell once he was down, you could see he was in pain. But you had an interesting thought of why.
Well, last year when they really needed him, and I'm not saying he bailed, and because that's a big his family was one of them. His kid was in the hospital.
Yep. So last year in the playoffs, they were, you know, everybody was in the bubble.
Yeah.
And it was early in the playoffs, and he left. And he really got criticized.
Oh, he really gave me.
And they just, the papers and the fans were just crucifying him. And later we found out that one of his kids, I don't know, was sick, was in the hospital. So he felt he had to leave, right?
So he left. And there's no way he was going to do it again because, I got an injury. And he stuck it in there. At least he'd give it the old shot.
Yeah, so you're saying that he, in his mindset, okay, I left the team last year, so this year I can't say I'm hurt. I got to play right to the very end.
And you know what? Next year they're going to have the Jerry Swanson, I think. I don't know much about him. Swanson is going to be their goalie next year. Well, the trouble with the Bruins was they had too many injuries. When you have Rask hurt, and then you have Halak hurt, and you have your two top goalies out, that's the reason they lost, because when you have your goalies out, and when your goalie's not top form in the playoffs, you're done.
Well, it's exciting. Team Canada, they won the gold.
And the guys are back. But before we get started on how they won the gold and all that, tell us about the English guy. And you're sure he was born in England and raised in England,
Well, I looked up Wikipedia, so his name was Liam Kirk, and he was tied with seven goals. Him and me, Mangiapane, both were tied with seven goals.
Yeah.
So a Brit.
So how would he learn all his hockey? Where did he?
Well, they have hockey over there.
Yeah, I know.
But it's not high end hockey by any means. They said that was kind of the whole thing of the tournament, and was this Brit getting seven goals.
Well, first of all, let's go back with the guys that won the tournament. I love to see them sing. They lost the first three games, as everybody knows. And Connor Brown, who plays for Ottawa and going to have a good team next year, he led the tournament with 16 points. Now, Andrew Mangiapane, is that how you say it?
Mangiapane, pretty good.
That's tough. Mangiapane and Henrique were tied for third. I thought he was everything seemed to click when Mangiapane came over.
That's Gerard Gallant, who was the coach. That's what he said. He says, we just kind of holding the fort because they couldn't score. And then as soon as he came, everybody started
to
score.
And they threw that on the line. Nick Paul, another Ottawa guy, he got the winning goal.
Yeah.
And on
that winning goal, so it's really like they have overtime, right, for the gold medal. And it's 3-on-3 overtime.
Oh, I like 3-on-3.
So yeah, everybody loves 3-on-3.
And you go, boy, 3-on-3 overtime for the gold medal is something. Like that is super intense. And I don't know if he did it on purpose or what, Dad, but...
I know. I can't believe that he did it.
He lost the draw, and he walked around the fin, and the puck came right to him, like the guy passed it, and the fins kind of froze for a second because the guy won the draw in Canada's end. And then he got the puck and gave it to Connor Brown, and they went up and scored on a 2-on-1. And I thought, did he do that on purpose? Did he let that guy win, step around him, get the puck right on his stick, and then go into 2-on-1?
I don't know, but I want to. Whatever happened, I thought Connor Brown got the puck on a skate, put it over to Nick Paul in the net. But I'd like to say, again, here I am again. All the guys from Ontario, and there are a lot of guys from Ontario that we saw them play.
We on the GTHL. There was a lot of guys.
I got them here. Michael Bunting, you remember him? And played for Don Mills. Mario Ferraro. I wonder if he's any relation. Toronto Marlboro's Don Mills. Any relation to?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Leon Foudy, remember him?
I remember Liam. Markham, because he was an interesting guy where everybody, all the parents asked, do you need your kid to be on the best team for the scouts to watch?
Yeah.
And Markham didn't win very many games that year, and the London Knights took him 20th, and look at him now.
Yeah. And Andrew Magnanapani played for Toronto Titans, Mississauga Senators, and Toronto Junior Canadians. I remember. Oh, yeah. And now, here's a guy I really like, Cole Ferretti, played for Vaughan. Remember him, Tim?
Yeah, he was a real speed demon.
Yeah, he could really go. And I think he got the prettiest goal, this guy, Brandon Peary, Toronto Nationals. Remember that little deke he gave?
Yep.
And number one pick in the National Hockey League is going to be Owen Powers, Mississauga Reps. Boy, did he ever play good.
I remember, it was funny, I remember watching him, and you and I liked him, but he was big, like he was 6'3 back then, right?
He was
right?
A big guy, yeah.
And he just, you always say the same thing with guys like that. They got to improve on their skating.
Yeah, everybody says
that. But boy, has he ever.
Oh, yeah. Boy. And you know what? I hope they let him play. He's going to go to Buffalo. You know, there's another thing, too. I can't see how the guy could do any better than he did in Buffalo, the general manager, he signed the guys
the owner spent the money.
Yeah,
you know, they got Stahl, they broke the bank for Hall, they got
Skinner.
They gave, I don't know how much he's making now.
$8 million,
and it didn't work, and he didn't work out. And you go, well, it's not like they didn't pay these guys.
No, and Jack Eichel, things he wants to get out. He's never won anything there, and must be frustrating every year, the same thing. He gets hurt near the end, and
but Owen Powers is going there. But he was, you know, it's funny because we always had him. We thought, okay, when we were watching that year, I think we said the best defenseman was either Owen Powers or Brandt Clark.
Yeah,
and he was the guy from Don Mills that played on with Shane Wright and who did great in the under 18 tournament, and I think they'll probably go 1-2.
Yeah.
So Seattle will take. I bet you Seattle takes him.
Well, I hope Buffalo, when they get him, they let him play his style, and his style is go with the puck. I couldn't 3-on-3. They had him out there. Yeah. You know, a big guy like that, they usually.
Yeah, I like just the one story I thought I'd throw in. I know we're going a little bit long, but it's funny. But when they were playing Russia, they were in overtime, and Troy Stretcher, he goes down and makes just an unbelievable move. Puts it between his legs. Like, as you say, Dad, it was something like in practice. Walked around the Russian defenseman. He didn't know where it was and sifted it over to Mangiapane, who got the winner in overtime. So they were interviewing that Stretcher, and he goes, they said, you know, where did you get that move? That was unbelievable. And Shane Doan was assistant general manager. Yeah. He was over there. He goes, well, I was doing it in practice, and he came down and gave me crap. He says, you're doing it in practice. Why don't you do it in a bloody game? So I thought, I better do it. So he did. It was just like, it was probably the highlight move of the tournament to win.
If you had Rock'em Sock'em, that definitely would have been on it.
Yeah. And so you have to say Roberto Luongo did a great job getting everybody.
The GM, he's 1-0 now. He's the face of the franchise in Florida. And
I wonder if he's going to be the GM of the Olympic team.
Well, he will now. Yeah. You know, and he did a good job, and he brought the guys over. And Gerard Gallant, as we talked about earlier, Roberto, I saw an interview, and he said, I thought I ruined his chance for the National Hockey League.
Well, they were 0-3, losing to Latvia. But the one guy we got to mention, though, Dad, was Darcy Kuemper. The goalie, he was the difference.
He was the difference, and he played a great game, and played the whole game. And Darcy, you did a great job, and I just love it when you sing. And everybody puts their arms around each other, and they sing Oh Canada.